The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ed Tremblay from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine, North Carolina History for Students. I'm going to be reading today from Volume 61, Number 2, the Spring 2022 issue, Behind the Scenes of the North Carolina Museum of History. We're going to begin today with an article, A Day in the Life at the North Carolina Museum of History. Museum staff work hard to preserve, document, and share North Carolina's history. But we also have a lot of fun doing it, too. Here are a few behind-the-scenes moments from our history of working at the museum. Number 1. Curator Relana Poteet answers questions from students during a tour of the Discover Your Governors exhibit. Number 2. Exhibit designer Whitney Watson works with teammates on the installation of priceless works of arts into exhibit cases during the traveling exhibit The Tsar's Cabinet, 200 Years of Russian Decorative Arts Under the Romanovs. Number 3. During the COVID-19 pandemic, many museum events that are normally held in person had to move online. Here, AV specialist Joel Rhodes works with Allison Vooley, Community Programs and Festivals Coordinator, to share the online American Indian Heritage Celebration online. 4. How do you move a race car into a museum lobby? Very carefully. Here, museum teammates roll in a car used in the 2006 movie Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. It was on view as part of the museum's Starring North Carolina exhibit about movies made in North Carolina. 5. It takes a lot of museum staff to slowly and safely unroll this scroll, which is part of a 19th century panorama, a giant, long painting once used as part of a religious entertainment show. 6. The museum hosts regular conservation assistance days and invites patrons to bring in up to 3 objects for advice on care. Here, objects conservator Jennifer French meets with a visitor to discuss some family treasures. 7. Lookalikes? Museum Cavs director Stephen Nicholson poses with a sailor in the museum's permanent exhibit, The Story of North Carolina. Stephen actually served as a model during the creation of the figure and also served in the National Guard. 8. Photographers are usually behind the cameras taking photos of museum events, but photographer Kent Thompson captured this photo of photographer Eric Blevins, taking a photo of museum great Maceo Parker, who was featured in the exhibit Hey America, Eastern North Carolina and the Birth of Funk. 9. Fred Olds, well, a statue of our founder, gets a ride to his new location on the steps of the North Carolina Museum of History. 10. What's in the boxes? Senior Registrar Camille Hunt and Collections Section Chief John Campbell move crated artifacts into the museum. And 11, Katie Edwards, who curated the museum exhibit Toy Boom, Toys from the 1950s and 60s, takes a moment to demonstrate the exhibit's visitor photo op featuring vintage toys Gumby and Pokey. The next article is The Museum Shop by Kara V. Leinfelder and Lynn Brower. Kara is Associate and Creative Director of the North Carolina Museum of History Associates. Lynn is Director of Retail Operations at the North Carolina Museum of History's Museum Shop. Are bright, shiny objects, toys, candy, or soda what you think of when you think of a gift shop? What about a gift shop in a museum? Our museum shop is an important part of the museum for several reasons. All merchandise in the museum shop has been chosen for a reason, to connect the dots between your visit to the museum and items that will help you remember your trip or connect to the history that you're learning at school. Our museum shop also sells museum memberships. North Carolina Museum of History Associates members give financial support to the museum and in turn get to participate in special programs and events that happen at the museum and around the state. Museum members love history and North Carolina, and they want to help the museum be as successful as possible. Museum members and donors, people who donate or give money to the museum, help make our exhibits and programs possible, plus they help pay for field trips. This type of giving is called philanthropy. A person who does this is called a philanthropist. The term is defined as a person who seeks to promote the welfare of others, especially by the donation of money to good causes. Our museum shop raises funds, or money, for the museum by selling merchandise to visitors and members. Have you ever visited the North Carolina Museum of History and bought a snack, a souvenir, a book, or a postcard? Then you helped support the museum. When you shop in the museum shop, you are becoming a philanthropist, too. Each purchase helps fund educational projects for kids like you, in addition to other museum programs and exhibits. Now that you know what we do and why we do it, we think you will look at our shop a little differently the next time you visit. We can't wait to see you in the museum shop on your next field trip. Here's a sidebar article. What can you find in the museum shop? Lots of things. 1. Reminders. Things that remind you of your visit. Postcards, pencils, magnets, or historical documents. Even the Pepsi and cheer wine from your purchase are part of history. Both were born in North Carolina. 2. Items that have a story to tell, such as the potter whose grandfather's vase you saw in the exhibit, the beautiful basket made of pine needles from the state tree, or jewelry made of reclaimed copper from the state capitol dome. 3. Activities, such as a puzzle of the Brantley Pharmacy that you visited on the third floor of the museum, a model of the Wright Flyer that you can build a display in your room, or the loom kit you can use to learn about weaving. 4. Educational items, books and toys that can help you learn about pirates, World War I, famous North Carolinians, how to find arrowheads, military secret decoders that helped soldiers pass messages and win battles. Here are the captions for the photographs accompanying the museum shop article. A book is like a time machine. It will whisk you into the past. To help, the museum shop offers a large collection of biographies, nonfiction titles, and historical chapter books about North Carolina people and events from history. The museum shop is a popular stop on any museum visit, and it's easy to find, right inside the main doors of the lobby. Folks can learn lots of fun facts about North Carolina while piecing together this popular puzzle. And the museum shop carries many items handmade by North Carolina artists, such as pottery, pinecone baskets, and jewelry. Next article, activities just for fun. The first one is, what's that? When a person is using an object, at home, at school, on a farm, for a business, we can usually tell in context what it is being used for. Kind of like trying to guess the meaning of a new word in a sentence. But once you take it out of that place and put it in a museum exhibit or on a shelf in storage, that can change. Our museum collection includes some artifacts that no one uses anymore. New technology is invented, fashions change. What was once common and ordinary can become odd or downright perplexing. Something that your great-grandmother once used daily can get packed away in the attic and people can forget what it was for. So historians create detailed documentation for the item. Notes, descriptions, photos, dates to help people remember long into the future. Try it. As a junior historian, you can do this too. Find an object. It can be something you use every day, or it can be treasured item or antique. Something your family has kept and passed down for generations? If you're not sure what the object is, how can you learn more about it? You can ask a family member. Research online for an object that looks the same. Other ideas? Once you've researched your artifact, do what our curators and registrars do. Create a record of it. Take a photograph of the object. Write a description of the object. Your description can include things like a simple title, old school book, hammer, sewing machine, baby shoe. Who used this artifact? Where did they use it? City, county, and state. When did they use it? When was it made? Write a short paragraph that answers this question. What is significant or important about this object? And as a sidebar, we've got a contest for that. Did you know we have a contest for this activity? We do. One of our Tar Heel Junior Historian Association annual contest categories is the Artifact Search Contest. Here is an example of a past submission. Ask your club advisor how you can enter. The example is a Bemis tobacco transplanter. It was submitted by Darius Oates, Parkton Junior Historians, Parkton Elementary School, and Parkton Janice Gardner Advisor. Who used this artifact? A tobacco farmer. Where and when? This is an 1894 tobacco transplanter invented by Frank Bemis. It was found in a neighbor's yard in Lumber Bridge and has been used until the 1930s. The transplanter was used to plant tobacco faster. It is important to North Carolina history because we are known for our tobacco. We have ranked number one in the nation for producing tobacco, and this tool was used for years. Next activity, figure it out. Did you know that the North Carolina Museum of History has a large collection of historical photographs? Looking at photos is a great way to learn about the past, but sometimes photos come in without any information. Then historians must study the details of the photo to figure out what's going on and when the photo might have been taken. Look at the image at the top of the page. It is part of an interactive in the museum's Tar Heel Junior Historian Association Discovery Gallery. It shows how a curator might explore the photo and figure out more about it. When you're looking at this photo, think about these questions. Whom do you see? What action seems to be going on? Why did somebody take the photo? How does it relate to North Carolina history? And then there are various comments from these questions. Clothing looks like early 1900s or the Depression. There were some people in bare feet. Doesn't seem to be cold. Hats shading from the sun. This kind of log tobacco barn began disappearing in the 1950s. Flu cured. Rural area. Could be almost anywhere in North Carolina. Seems sandy and flat. Now try it. Look at the photos to the right. What is going on in each one? When do you think they were taken? What clues can you find hiding in the photos? For example, who are the people? What are their ages? How are they related? Where are they? What clothes and hats and shoes are they wearing? Can you tell what season of the year it is? What other items in each photo might help you guess the date? Try this with your own family photos. Now we're going to move on to Volume 62, Number 1, the Fall 2022 issue, History Rocks, Music in North Carolina. And we'll start with describing the cover photo, which is North Carolina native Rhiannon Giddens, is a multi-talented singer and songwriter from Greensboro. Our cover captures her in a dynamic performance at the College of Charleston Cistern Yard in 2022. Read more about Giddens and her music in this issue. And in the photo from left to right are Francesco Teresi, Jason Cipher, and Rhiannon Giddens. And we're going to start with the Hey Y'all by Jessica Pratt. This is the cover letter on page 2 from the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association program coordinator. Here's something you might not know about me. My family has a bluegrass band. But here's something else. I'm not in the band. I don't play any instruments. I can't even whistle. Maybe you've noticed that I stay far away from the microphone when we sing the state song at the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association annual convention. But I sure do love to listen to my family members make music together. The group started out with family and friends gathering to share music and jam every weekend. My stepdad plays the banjo in the band. My mom's older brother plays the guitar. Two of my cousins play the fiddle and the upright bass. And longtime family friends join in on other instruments like the mandolin and the dobro, which is an acoustic guitar with a metal resonator. Most of the band members come from my mother's side of the family, and they attribute their love of bluegrass and country music to her father. The family name is Short, so the band is called Shortly Thereafter. When my son was younger, he would often ask our Alexa smart speaker to play Greensboro bluegrass. We knew he meant he wanted some tunes from the family band. I'm glad that he'll grow up watching our family carry on some of the state's rich musical traditions as we listen to them play at festivals and events around the state, as well as in their living room. Jessica Pratt. The article introducing this issue is Music in North Carolina by Brandon Roeder, who is the K-12 Music and Theater Arts Consultant at the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction. Across 10 years in the field, he has taught pre-K to 5 music and high school chorus, marching bands and drum lines, a strings program, and arts integration. Roeder completed his master's degree as a curriculum specialist at Appalachian State University. Dad, what was the first instrument? Us. We were. When I turned on the car radio to take my daughter to school that day, I didn't expect to be having a philosophical conversation with a 7-year-old about what makes music, music. I never thought the conversation would lead to an exploration of how much has changed over time. When I came to teach music in North Carolina in 2009, I was charged to teach my students, about North Carolina musicians and musical styles. But before moving here, all I knew, okay, I assumed, about the local music was to expect to hear bluegrass music in the Appalachian counties in the West and country music across the whole state. Boy, did I have a stereotyped and antiquated point of view. Sure, bluegrass and country music are still alive and well here, and there are amazing artists carrying on and evolving the traditions of their forms. But it didn't take long living here before I learned how much people loved to shag to beach music, the unique East Coast music that is more related to swing and soul than to the surfing music of those beach boys from California. I learned about the strong history of punk rock in Chapel Hill, which gave rise to bands like Superchunk. And I was delighted to learn that some of my favorite jazz musicians, like Thelonious Monk and Nina Simone, were natives of North Carolina. I also read the history of mill workers who raised their voices in song in protest against poor wages and bad working conditions. I heard about how the Menhaden Chanty Men used music and chants to coordinate and ease the manual labor involved in raising large hauls of fish by hand on the Pamlico Sound. I also learned how a younger generation of musicians like Ninth Wonder from Winston-Salem and G. Yamazawa, born in Durham, is turning the Triangle into a hub for rap and hip-hop. New North Carolinians are also bringing their own musical styles to our state, like Kerry's Carnatic and Hindustani musical community, and Greensboro's large Montagnard population of musicians. I learned how shape note singing, a style of writing note heads unique to the solfège pitch they represent, so, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, is still heard in the western part of the state. I marveled at how native people across the state, like Charlie Lowry and Lakota John, both from Robeson County, are reviving their music and blending it with new genres. And last but not least, I learned we've had more American Idol contestants than any other state. Most important, I learned that it is impossible to separate a people's history from their music. It is impossible to remove their identity or lump them into one category. The story of music in North Carolina is simply too big for one issue of Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine. Besides, the publication would be incomplete as soon as it was printed, because North Carolinians spanning the state are creating new music and new genres every day. They are collaborating in new ways and blending sounds, ragas, grooves, and methods of music making from around the globe. This issue is just a tiny peek into the rich musical sounds that resonate across the state today. I hope it inspires you to learn more about the music you listen to and the musicians you are already streaming, but also to expand your music library. In fact, we created a playlist just for you. Recently, I've been encouraging my daughters to take a moment to stop and really listen to their music. Simply pausing for a moment to fully immerse themselves in a sonic experience, where sonic means using, produced by, or relating to sound waves. Immersing yourself in a sonic experience deepens your appreciation of the music. We know that whatever we choose to listen, watch, or make music here in North Carolina, we are experiencing a rich past and a rich present, and are listening to the future unfold. Here are captions with the accompanying photographs. Today's North Carolinians have roots from all over the world, and that includes their music. You can explore that music at the International Festival in Raleigh. Each year it brings local groups representing more than 50 countries together. Experience music, food, crafts, and more. In 1924, Joe Larkin Hartley, born in 1870 and died in 1966, invited a neighbor church to join him in the meadow for singing and dinner. That small gathering grew into Singing on the Mountain, the longest-running all-day free festival of gospel singing and fellowship each June at the base of Grandfather Mountain. The image is of Joe L. Hartley Sr., founder of Singing on the Mountain, with his granddaughter Susan Hartley Gwynn, circa 1940s to early 1950s. I grew up playing all kinds of music with my family. Now I'm sharing my love of music with all my children. This is me giving my daughter Lillian a piano lesson at home. William J. Gaston, born 1778, died 1844, wrote The Old North State in 1835, and it was popular for generations. In 1927, it was adopted by the General Assembly as North Carolina's official state song, and we sing it each year at the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association annual convention. Gaston was an attorney from New Bern in Craven County. He served in the United States House of Representatives from 1813 to 1817 and on the North Carolina Supreme Court from 1833 to 1844. Gaston County and the town of Gastonia are named after him. Next, a closer look at some North Carolina musicians. The Avett Brothers, formed in 2001 from Cabarrus County. The Avett Brothers from Concord play a blend of country, roots, and old-time string band music. The group's lively performance style has been described as a punk rock hootenanny. The core trio consists of Seth Avett on guitar, Scott Avid on banjo, and Bob Crawford on upright bass. The band released its first album, Country Was, in 2002. They have performed at Merlefest and throughout the United States. Recent albums include Closer Than Together in 2019 and The Third Gleam in 2020. Etta Baker, born in 1913, died in 2006 from Caldwell County. Piedmont blues guitarist Etta Baker maintained her job as a textile worker for more than 40 years, recording her music sporadically. Her unique finger-picking style influenced many musicians, including blues musician Taj Mahal, who helped Baker record an album in 1991. Her songs, like Railroad Bill and One Dime Blues, are considered standards of the Piedmont blues sound. Baker received a North Carolina Folk Heritage Award in 1989 and earned a National Heritage Fellowship Award from the National Endowment for the Arts in 1991. In 2003, she received the prestigious North Carolina Award. Fantasia Barrino, born in 1984 in Guilford County. Fantasia Barrino is an R&B singer with gospel roots who was born in High Point. In 2004, at age 19, she won the third season of American Idol, singing the song Summertime from the George Gershwin opera Porgy and Bess. At the time, Idol judge Simon Cowell declared that she was the best contestant to ever compete in any competition worldwide. Fantasia's debut single, I Believe, hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. In 2014, she was inducted into the North Carolina Museum Hall of Fame. The North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. In February 2022, Oprah announced the cast of the upcoming musical movie adaptation of The Color Purple. Fantasia will play and sing the part of Celie, a role she played on Broadway. Walker Calhoun, born 1918, died 2012 in Swain County. Walker Calhoun, a Cherokee tribal elder, was born in Big Cove, a community in the Quala boundary. He sang traditional sacred dance songs of the Cherokee that were passed down to him from his uncle Will West Long, a respected medicine man, singer, and storyteller. In the 1980s, Calhoun formed the family group Raven Rock Dancers to preserve the Cherokee stomp dance tradition. Calhoun received many awards, including a North Carolina Folk Heritage Award in 1990 and a Folk Heritage Award from the National Endowment for the Arts in 1992, specifically a National Folk Heritage Award. We've run out of time for today's episode of North Carolina History. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ed Tremblay, reading from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-932-5138.